We're going to go kind of down through the row here and just introduce ourselves, because I know not everybody knows everybody here. I mean, they all know each other because they live together for a week, but you might not know everybody. So go ahead and share your name if you don't mind.
Corbin.
I'm Mason.
Lucas.
Brady.
Jacob.
Sutton.
Ronald.
Becca.
Jaden.
Allie.
Abby.
Jordan.
And the old lady.
Tammy.
I'm in so much trouble after I do Sunday services. It's crazy. All right. We asked some of our students kind of in the early part of the week, like, what are you hopeful for? What are you here for? I wanted them to really think deeply about why did they invest and why did they ask their parents to invest, you know, nearly $900 to be a part of something like NYC. And so Mason's going to kind of go and kind of share a little bit about what he was hopeful for and what he was looking forward to experiencing at NYC.
I was really looking forward to improving my relationship with God, which I really did. And I was also like hoping to make new friends, which I did. Like initially I was like thinking that I wouldn't make new friends. I felt like we were like too close as a group, but as the week went on, we really like made a lot of new friends and ventured out.
Yeah. Started making other group friends. Anybody else want to share about what you were expecting or hopeful for leading into the week? All right. Nearly everyone's going to have a chance to talk here at some point if they would like to. The first day, the first experience we had was a whole day in a bus. We got down to the hotel, we blew a flat, we had some interesting experiences with bus tires again. Seems to be our thing. And someone pointed out on Facebook that I seem to be the common denominator of that. I had nothing to do with either one of our flat tires. But then the next day we went to Kentucky Kingdom. You saw some pictures of that. We went to a AAA baseball game down there as well. Anybody want to share about that first day at all? I know Mason's got something too.
The ride down, I learned something that Allie and Lucas probably shouldn't sit next to each other on the bus.
Yeah?
Lucas had a little fan for the amusement park or whatever to cool himself down and thought it would be a good idea to put it in Allie's hair.
Oh, nice.
So the fan ended up being broken.
Anyone else?
When we went to Kentucky Kingdom, there was this thing that was promoting a 5D movie or a 5D experience thing. So it was Wizard of Oz. So we all decided to go because we thought it would be like a ride or something really awesome. And we get in there and it was actually really lame. And it was like barely even a 3D movie. I don't know, it was bad. So we all, like, Tammy and I were sitting next to each other and we were looking around to see if other people were enjoying it. Or if, like, we were the only ones who thought this was like lame. And we look over at Mason, and it's like the Tin Man singing a song. And all of a sudden, he's like doing the motions with the Tin Man, and he like beats on his chest. And it made the whole thing like enjoyable, but I think Mason was the only one who enjoyed that.
Either the first or second night, one of our Mason's prayer warriors got him water balloons. So I don't know what night this was actually, but...
Michelle Cole.
Yeah. Or name names, all right. So, it was like 2 in the morning, I think. Mason said he had to go to the bathroom. He comes back and drills Brady in the face with a water balloon while we were all in bed, and the bed got soaking wet, like everything. And then, like, we had water balloon, like, wars in the hotel room throughout the week, so.
Yeah. I just love hearing Brady laugh. That's why it's paused. Yeah, I forgot. I was going to say add something to that, but I'm going to move on. So we got through that first day, and the next day we come into the arena. The very first time we get to see the arena, and it was just, I mean, I was really impressed with the Nazarene Church and how they made everything feel really first class. If you saw the light rigging that was above it, they shaped that in the shape of the crown for the logo. They really thought, I think, of every detail. Each one of our speakers had a very diverse style. A very diverse approach to bringing the Word of God to everybody. So not every speaker spoke to every one of us, but someone did powerfully. And so our first speaker was a man by the name of Rick Rigsby, and he was really, really good. And Brady's going to talk a little bit about what he took away from him.
One of the things he was talking about is, like, you have to put God first in your life, and you have to love Him with all your mind, heart, and soul. And if you don't, then you just kind of start to go in a circle and look for God, and he's really right next to you. You're just not putting him first, and so you start to blame God for your problems and such, and he's really just waiting for you to put him first so he can show you the path that he wants you to take.
Yeah, it was good. He sat there as he was preaching that. He was walking in circles, showing just how futile it is to walk in circles. He also said a powerful line that is in the video in just a moment, where you have a second video that we'll watch. He said, a tattered Bible, which, you know, I kept thinking, to this generation, do they know what Bibles are? Because, like, we all have them on our phones. But a tattered Bible, a worn-out, underlined, worn-out Bible, is evidence of a life that is not. And I was struggling with that line until Abby Smith helped me understand what he was saying, is that it's a sign of a life that is not tattered. If your life feels tattered, run to the Scriptures. And if your Scripture, if your Bible, if your book is tattered, if you've worn it out, your life is not going to be tattered, even though things might come against it and even though difficult times come against it. It was very, very, very powerful. Our next speaker that next evening was Gabriel Sagulero. He was he ministers in downtown New York into a very multi-ethnic, is he Puerto Rican? Is that right? I didn't want to get it wrong. But he had his wife interpreting in Spanish while he was speaking in English, so there were some differences for some of us, but it was really good. And so Corbin's going to share a little bit about that.
Things that stood out for him, he constantly said throughout what he was preaching, love always wins. And that he said it like with emphasis, like it was very important throughout. And then he had a bully when he was a kid. And he said that this bully was big, strong, and ugly. And he said, life is going to challenge us, and it's going to be big, strong, and ugly, just like the bully. Mainly for me, he talked about getting our priorities right, that God needs to be number one on our priorities list, and that was the biggest thing that spoke to me through him.
One of the things that I struggle with, especially it seems like lately, I'm one of those people that I just like to stay away from even hearing about the things that are happening in the world. I don't watch the news. I scroll through Facebook when I see anything negative. I just don't like to hear about that kind of darkness that is occurring in our world. And one thing that stuck out to me was that he said, instead of cursing the darkness, we need to be the light to the darkness. And he said that to be a Christian is to be active in the world. And so I felt like instead of for me to be afraid of it and not want to talk about it and not want to even hear about it or anything, my job as a Christian is to be the light to those that are in the darkness. And so instead of being afraid of it and letting those challenges of life get to me, I need to have the courage to stand with courage and with love to the world and just help share that light.
Jacob and Sutton are going to talk about our next speaker, who was Friday morning, I guess, Amina Brown, who is kind of a poet. She's got some videos out there that are really popular. Jacob, what did you take away?
Amina Brown is a hip-hop enthusiast that uses poetry as a way to worship. She stood out to me because she took everything out of the Bible and looked at it in a different way. She talked about how God is just like a DJ of the heavens. He mixes up all the things in our life until the outcome is beautiful. She also talked about how you shouldn't be betting or gambling on things a little here and a little there if you're going to bet but 100% on Jesus.
I really liked how she used the DJ as being God. And I said that I'm going to let those things that bother me or have like those hard times and let him take those mixes and make something good out of it.
That evening we had a professor from one of our Canadian colleges. His name was Mark Buchanan, and he had a lot of great things to say, and Tammy is going to share a little bit about what she took away from him.
One of the images that he gave us was the story of when Jesus was in the big crowd of people and everyone was just kind of pressing in, and there was this lady that was just desperate for to be healed, and she was so desperate that she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and she was instantly healed. And it was talking about how the world is just so desperate for his light, and that for us, we need to be the healing that they desire. And so basically, this was the night we were kind of talking about holiness and how holiness is just kind of living a life that's pleasing him to him and our words and our actions and the things that we do, and living a life that's full of him. And I think that sometimes when I'm just kind of going up out in my life, I don't know that he is radiating out of me. And so I need my life to be full, an abundance of him overflowing to the world, because we are the light. And so that was kind of what I took away, that I want my life to be full of him so that I can glorify him in everything that I do and then be a light to those that are desperate for that light.
So far we've had a large African-American preacher who was powerful in that way. We had a Puerto Rican preacher. We had a poet. And then we had a kind of an academic professor. So you see some of the variety. The next morning we gathered and we had a drama crew, the skit guys. They may look familiar to some of you, but Abby's going to share about what she took away from them.
The skit guys are Tommy Woodward and Eddie James, and they used comedy to spread God's word. And through their skits, they taught us how to make justice look like Christ and to make God famous. And we learned to show people what it looks like to give of ourselves, because we're the hands and feet of Christ. And I learned that God looks at the heart and not outward appearance, and he has a plan for everyone. And they explained the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and he was wrapped in grave clothes, and Jesus said, "Unwrap him, for he is no longer dead." And it really just taught me that God calls us to be people of compassion who look around the world and see that there are people in grave clothes that need our help, and it's our job to help them in every circumstance.
Anyone else want to talk about skit guys real quick? Anything else stand out? They were really, all of them were really good. That evening we had one of our six general superintendents. In the Nazarene Church, we have six people who are elected to be general superintendents. They have a general board over them, but they're kind of our bosses. And so at every NYC, one of them speaks, and David Busick was the one who was chosen to speak this year. I wasn't really sure about what to expect from Dr. Busick, because I hadn't really heard him speak before. But I think all of us could say he was number one or number two for us. I mean, he just did a really good job of relating. Corbin and Jaden are going to share a little bit about what they kind of took away from Dr. Busick.
He said that we need to not cut corners on God and give 100% to him all the time. And again, with same thing as Gabriel said, God needs to be number one on our priorities list always. And something that struck me kind of like to think about was that he said God cares for us so much that our desires are his desires. And that kind of had me in like deep thought about just different, I don't really know, I was in deep thought about that. But he preached about call, like each preacher had like a different thing to talk about, so he had the call. And I think that I want to, like, he called me to be more of an influence for my friends, but in order to do that, I need to be more of a, like, I need to get my act together before I try to help my friends, so.
To touch on what Corbin was talking about and with our calling, and David talked a lot about, like, our intimacy with God and just strengthening that relationship so that when we are, like, with him so much and creating this close, intimate relationship, then his desires will become our desires, and that to give him every corner of our life means to not hold anything back. And a lot of times I think, especially myself, we try to like control certain parts of our lives instead of just giving him 100%. And we think that maybe we can do things better sometimes, or if he's not acting on our time, then we try to control different elements, especially like looking into the future. We think that we can plan it all out and if we do this step and this step, then that will get us to where we want to go. But God has his own plan for us, and if we just look to him and trust in him and give him everything, then he will unfold that plan, and it might not be what we're looking for, but it's exactly where he wants us to be.
A lot of times things come our way that we're not interested in, right? But all those things work to his glory when we allow ourselves to be put into his path. It was excellent. So Sunday morning we gathered, and probably the speaker I knew the least amount, his name was Eric Samuel Timms. We began our service with him creating a painting that he was just doing it to some music, and it was just very abstract and very difficult to understand what was going on. And then he took the canvas and he rotated it 180 degrees. And in that moment, there was this image of a face, and it was the image of Christ. And it was just really, really powerful. A couple other things took place, and then he came out to preach to us. And the one thing I remember walking away from, just in hearing his style, the most creative speaker I've heard in a very long time. And I said, I'm ruined. Like, I'll never be able to preach again, because he was so good. Not just in content, but he had illustrations and used crowd involvement. It was just absolutely mind-blowing. And so if I have a pile of boxes up here one day or a ladder, it all comes from him. But it was really, really good. So Allie and Jaden are going to talk about Eric.
Yeah, Eric was definitely my favorite speaker of the whole week, just because he had a good message and a good way of delivering it. And one of the things that he said that really stood out to me was that we don't spend time, but we invest it. And when we choose to invest our time in things that don't matter, then we're building a wall between us and God. And the more time we invest in those things, the higher the wall gets. And when it can be really easy to just spend an hour even, like, on our phones or watching TV or any of those things that don't really matter, and then at the end of the day, we get nothing from that. Whereas to when we invest our time in God, he pays back tenfold, and it's always worth it.
To continue what Allie was saying with investing our time wisely, and the more that we just put our time instead of, like, in our own little space, like on social media or in television, if we turn that time to investing in our word and or his word and spending time with him, then the more we can go out and help those around us. And he used an illustration with a ladder and Zacchaeus up in a tree and talked about how our worldly view of people is a lot different than God's view of people, and that he's, like, we should start to see people with the potential that they have once they've found Christ instead of just in the current moment and how we see them. So the more that we can just be ministered to by God, then we can go and minister to others and to just remember not to look at them and say, oh, look, like, to judge them from the outside, but to think of who they could become with God. And so that was really powerful. And then another thing that was awesome that we got to do that day, it was our last Sunday there, and so we had communion all together, and so that was just super powerful because the 7,000 people all in the arena, and we got to take the sacraments together. It was really awesome.
It was very good. One of the cool things we got to do on the very first day, when we were done with Dr. Rigsby, we had lunch, and then we went to something called the Experience. And I was kind of under the understanding that the Experience would be something that we could do if we wanted to, or something that you could just kind of go individually and go through, like, if you've ever done anything like a prayer labyrinth or any kind of leading of reading some scriptures and meditation and things like that. But it was really quite different. It was our entire district went through this together at one time. And so Mason and Becca are going to talk about what the Experience was like for them.
So the Experience was like a six-step video. And you, like, went to different stations and walked throughout it. And it was all about the Lord's Prayer. And it showed me, like, how truly deep that prayer is. And it made me, like, think about when I'm praying, like, I should be that deep every time I pray. And there was a station there where we had to, like, write down some of our sins on a piece of paper, and we got to drop it in water and, like, watch it dissolve, which was really cool, and felt like showing that God forgives you for your sins, and, like, felt like weight off my shoulders.
What I thought was really cool about the Experience was that it was very diverse, and there was lots of hands-on visual and listening stations. And one of the hands-on stations was where we got to press our hands into some dough, and it kind of represented how God made us exactly how he wanted us to be. And just like bakers make dough and bread. One of the more visual stations was where we got to watch the screen and it typed out a letter that was from God to us. And sometimes it would like pause, like God was kind of like thinking of what to like say to us. One of the listening stations was when we got to get into groups and answer questions together. And this is one of my favorites because we got to like listen to the other people in our group, and that's, I like listening to other people. So.
It was a really cool experience. As a matter of fact, I met with Pastor Mike this week. We're actually talking about a new study that we're going to be using through Boost very shortly that talks about the different ways we connect with God. And I'm not going to give a lot of that away, but the diversity of the speakers, the diversity that Becca talked about with each of the experiences, reminds me that we all learn in such different ways. We all connect with God in such different ways. Some of you are struggling with this format right now, but that's okay. Some of us are tuned in totally, and it's great. We all celebrate the different ways we connect, and we're actually looking for a way that as a church we can kind of create an experience of our own where we can kind of go from room to room and room and do some things this fall. So it's going to be something really neat. Now, one of the cool things we did there was worship in an arena that's built for basketball and made for concerts and all these things. It was really, really cool to do with 7,000 friends. Okay, we didn't know them all. But to do with 18 friends and 7,000 complete strangers. We really loved our worship time together. So Corbin and Jaden are going to talk a little bit about their experience with worship.
As my dad said, 7,000 people makes for like a really powerful session, pretty much. Because worship with 7,000 people doing the same thing as you is just, I don't really know how to explain that. It's just overwhelming and crazy, honestly. There, a particular night was after David Busick did his preaching. I had to stay sitting for worship because I was so like dumbfounded and trying to like just wrap my head around everything that was happening. And that was the first time I've ever cried in like a church service or anything because I don't. That was a crazy night, and that was just overwhelming.
Yeah, so worship was just, like, amazing there, just like Corbin said, with 7,000 people. And so we're all in an arena with, like, these matching bracelets that, like, light up. You could see in the videos with the songs. They would shine different colors. And so just being surrounded by that many people all worshiping our one Savior and God, and it was just crazy. And you could feel God's presence, like, all around you each day. And the one, I don't remember which night it was, but it was just a beautiful moment. We were all standing and we were singing a song that said, "So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all." And almost everyone's hands were just raised. And in that moment, like, I was just like overcome with emotion. And it just made me think of like heaven one day when we'll all just be like standing in his presence, like in awe with like our hands stretched out towards him, just praising him. And it was crazy. And goosebumps still.
Mm-hmm. I'm leaking. It was really cool to have this experience. We had this group text message the whole time. And we got home and it was like the next morning and Ron says, "I miss Louisville so much." And that's it. Like you think about like the experience of being together in that place, just to even see the pictures again and to see what it was like to be in that environment. There's like an emptiness and like you miss it. I wanted to bring all of you there. It was that meaningful, that awesome. Now, we had two worship services a day and we had some stuff in the afternoon. We had a lot of things going on, but at night we had concerts. So all of you want to go to NYC next year, I know, or in 4 years. It doesn't happen for 4 years, but just because you want to stay up till midnight rocking out with Lecrae and Rent Collective and others. But Sutton is going to talk a little bit about the concerts and kind of not just about the music or the artists, but kind of just even those were meaningful and impactful. So,
right, so the first night we had Lecrae, and he's a rap artist. And it was really like cool because my mom said that we wanted to be the light in the darkness, and he had all the lights off and told us to turn on our flashlights on our phone. And it was really cool because it just lit up. The whole room was, you could see everything. And it was really cool to see how just flashlights of our light can just bring so much brightness. And
so the reminder is that when we shine our light, that's good, but when we're all shining it together, we can make a huge difference in the world. And one light made a difference in that big arena. 7,000 of them made a huge, huge difference. And so there's a lot to be done. So every band felt like an extension of worship. And they were diverse. We had the rap artists. We had Rin Collective. I did this first service. The Irish Jig people. And Tammy said, stop doing that. So I'm doing it this service too. We had For King and Country, you know, kind of a pop band. I mean, it was, again, even in their concert selections, very diverse and very cool. We also spent time on Friday doing a work project. Our work project that we were assigned was to learn more about dirty water. And this is a thing that's very near and dear to me. If you've been close to me in the last 18 months or so, you know that Team World Vision has been a part of my language. And several of us who are here today ran a marathon last year to raise money for Team World Vision. So there's a couple more that are interested in doing like a half this year, half, and I'm doing a half Ironman in a few weeks, all because I believe that clean water should be something that everyone has access to. That's a fixable problem. And the number one killer in the entire continent of Africa is not AIDS and some of these big things. It's actually diseases related to access or not having access to clean water. This is fixable. This is really fixable. So we spent time learning about that, and you saw pictures of us walking down to the Ohio River with our 5-gallon buckets, dipping in 5-gallon buckets into the water, bringing it back. And it was about a half a mile walk there and a half a mile walk back, and it was exhausting. Like, to carry 5 gallons of water, it took some of us partnering together. It was tiring. And the average person, we learned on Friday, the average person walks that needs to get their water this way, they walk nearly 4 miles round trip to go get water that is used for animals to bathe in and animals die in, and it's just crazy. This is a fixable problem. And so the Church of the Nazarene has started a new justice movement called Just Move, and we learned about that. And the blue tubs that we were kind of throwing back and forth are actually water filtration systems that the Church of the Nazarene is sending wherever they're needed around the world. And when they get to the location that they're going to, they're filled with rocks and sand and various things to help filter that water to get rid of the bacteria, get rid of the pollutants, get rid of all the things so that people can have access to clean water. So it was a really, really great experience because I was learning about a new way to bring clean water to people, and I'm pretty excited about partnering with Just Move in the future to see what we can do to help them. Another awesome thing, our evenings always concluded with gathering together, kind of having some debrief about the experience of what we had gone through that day. And then we distributed our prayer warrior packages. I would just like to ask, if you were one of our prayer warriors, would you stand right where you are right now? If you signed up and you sent notes and you sent little things to us, would you stand right where you are? Kids, would you send your appreciation back to them? And church, you can appreciate them as well. It was awesome. It was really, really awesome. Even Michelle Cole's water balloons, they were awesome because we made memories with all of that. The reality is we sent 5 extra boxes along with us because of all of your generosity, and the kids got those each night. And I think it grew and grew and grew as something that was increasingly more and more meaningful as the week went along. Lucas and Jacob are going to share about kind of their prayer warrior experience. So
we had 3 prayer volunteers, like, for every person, and every night we would get our prayer package, and every time we'd open it up, like, our note that we got, and every time, I'm pretty sure all of us agree that it would always just change our mood if we're having a bad day. And so I just want to thank all of you that are prayer warriors.
Kind of like Jacob said, each person that went, each student had 3 people volunteer to write them a letter for each day and a small gift attached. And I just want to say thank you to my prayer warriors too, because it changed my experience at NYC a lot. And each day when I opened my letter, it seemed like it was just what I needed to hear for that day. And I just thought it was cool that we could know that there was people back at home that were praying for us each day.
Yeah, it was really cool. So thank you for that. We're going to continue that process of encouraging partnership with one another and praying whenever there's events like this, because this event had the impact that it had because there were people back home and people all over the world praying for us, and we know that that's true. So my prayer partner asked me to, they gave me Hubba Bubba or Bubblicious or some kind of bubble gum and said, pass it out and have a bubble blowing contest. And so I was doing this on the bus and taking pictures of everybody's bubbles, and I just could not get Allie's timed right. So every picture I have of her with a bubble, it's already deflated. So, and she hated this picture, but she put the picture of me in the video where I'm going, and so this is payback. All right. I remember coming out of the Saturday night service with Dr. Busick, and a couple of different images were flying through my mind. One was from the Old Testament, one was from the New. In the Old Testament, there was this moment where Moses comes down from the mountain. He's spent time with God. He's received the law of God. This is now his second time. If you remember, there was one time Moses came down and shattered the law. And he went back up and God made him chisel it back out again. He comes down from the mountain, and as Aaron and the other elders of Israel are going out to meet Moses, they are afraid and they run from him because they've noticed that his face, the scripture says, is radiant. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody's face glow. It probably doesn't glow like we think of glow, but have you ever seen a radiant face that's smiling and bright and happy and full of joy? I believe that many of us came home with radiant faces. As that story goes on, you'll notice that Moses' radiance fades over time. And haven't you ever found that to be the case in an experience that you've had with God, where He comes and He speaks and He challenges you and you feel so close to Him? And then over time, it begins to gradually fade. I kind of believe that there will be a moment in our lives where the radiance will fade. There was another image, an image from the New Testament that I was thinking of on that Saturday night. It was an image that we've called the Transfiguration. This moment where Jesus goes up to a mountain and He brings three of His closest disciples. He's got Peter and James and John, and He is praying. And in this prayer, He is visited by Isaiah and another prophet of old. And it's this transfiguration moment where things just change. It seems like there's a portal directly into heaven. And the three disciples are sitting there. At first, they're a little sleepy and they're starting to recognize what's going on. And they go to Jesus and they say, Jesus, would it be okay if we put together and made some shelters? Some translations say tent. If we just kind of pitched a tent and stayed here for a while. And I'll be honest with you, church, I did not want to go back to my hotel room on Saturday night. As Corbin was talking about, just kind of had his, he was sitting, just trying to process it. There was a moment in that night where I just had to cover my face and weep, because the presence of God was so upon us. And I wanted to pitch a tent. That was the phrase I said. I just want to pitch a tent. I don't want to leave. I don't want to go home. I don't want to go back to reality. I want to stay in this moment and just allow God to penetrate my soul, to penetrate my sin, and to make me feel good and clean and righteous. Because that's what that moment felt like. But if you read that story, Jesus didn't allow them to set their tents. He didn't allow them to make the shelters. In fact, in this moment, a cloud appears and it envelops all of them. And the scripture says the disciples were quite terrified by this cloud. But when the cloud dissipated, the saints were gone. And it was just Jesus and the three. And it was back to this moment of walking back down the side of the mountain, going back to the people. So in the kingdom of God, there are moments that you need to put yourself in the experience of His presence. We have to be people who make worship a part of our regular routine. We have to be people that put ourselves in the place where we know God will visit. And in those moments, you'll want to pitch a tent, but no tents are allowed. Because what God calls us to is to take that tent-like experience, that moment of transfiguration that we experience, and go and share that with everyone you know. No tents allowed. Our radiance will fade. Brothers and sisters will fight once again. Yes, it will happen. But here's the truth. The moment can never be taken away. The tent was never pitched, but the message is proclaimed. No tents, only proclamation of God's love and His salvation to a world that desperately needs Him. And what is He looking for to do that, to proclaim that message? But you and I. 16 teenagers, 3 of which are going away to college, 13 of which are going to go into high school, Flushing High School, Swartz Creek High School. They're going to have a ripple effect influence on kids that are going to go to middle school, Swartz Creek Middle School, Flushing Middle School. Those are the middle schools represented, the high schools represented in our group. And God is going to use a ripple effect of your message, because you didn't pitch a tent, because you refused to stay. You said, I'll go, and you embraced the call in your life. God's going to use your message to influence everyone around you. 3 of you are going to influence people from way outside of here because you're going away. God is going to use that message, and He's going to use it in you. My prayer for this day has been that there would be one phrase that would be shared from one of these beautiful young kids that would hit you and penetrate you and say, that's the word that I needed today. There's no message. There's no preached sermon here today outside of 16 and 18 lives being led that want to influence you and challenge you to live your life deeper, to give your life 100% to God, to not fold over any corners of your life, but to allow God to have access to every corner of who you are and let Him change you and transform you and make you new. To challenge you to confess your sin and to get out of your addictions and to move into the light and to be the light and to allow God to clean you, allow God to do His work, and then allow that work to be influencers to your world, to your friends, to your neighborhood, to your co-workers. Because I believe, as dark as the world is getting, I am becoming more impassioned about the fact that we must be His light. There is no more time to play. There's no more time to search for a church that makes me feel good. God's kingdom is here, and it is present among them and among you. And I'm challenging you to say, will you be all He needs you to be? Will you give Him all of who you are? Will you allow Him to take your empty hands and to use them? Will you allow God to take your weakness and use it? Will you allow God to break you into humbleness and use you? Final song we want to sing today is a song that we learned this week. It's simply called All I Am. And we want to share it with you today and allow it to challenge you the way that it's challenged us over the last few weeks as we've been challenged by it. So let's stand together as we sing this song.